诸位菩萨，阿弥陀佛，早安。好，我们上一次呢提到，这个信心明哈，他那个时候的时代背景哈，那大概是在隋朝的时间，还有大概在唐初这个时间哈。那
Last time we talk about the historical background of faith in mind.It was roughly around the Sui Dynasty as well as the early Tang Dynasty.
好，那这个时代呢，他们的那个时候的思想传入哈，就是佛法传入中国的时候的思想是怎么样的呢？我们有提到了佛法格义化这件事。
We talked about how the Buddha Dharma was transmitted into China. So we first talked about the way that the Buddhist terms and philosophies were transposed into common Chinese philosophy terminology. And that was the way it was first introduced into China.
所以呢，那个时候的佛法的翻译呢，大多数呢，会运用一些当时中国习惯的用语，尤其是道家的语言。
So at that time, oftentimes, Buddhist texts and the translated sutras borrowed terms from the Taoist school.
所以我们等一下会看到那个信心明的句子哈，其实有几个词蛮重要的，然后蛮高的境界的词，其实都是用道家的语言。
So we're going to see later the actual text of Faith in Mind, and we can actually see there are quite a few phrases that are pivotal, as well as portraying a very high state of attainment. And those phrases were actually borrowed from the Taoist.
好，那在这个佛法格义化的过程中呢，其实同时哈，就是佛法整个传入的时候，整个佛法的那个经本哦，那随着不同的呼声哦，就是西域来的出家人带来的那个经典，所以呢，他们带来什么，那那个时候就会比较流行的是哪一方面的经典。
So during that initial phase where Buddhist terms were transposed into Taoist terms, at that time, monastics from India came over to China, and they brought different sutras and different texts with them. And so the thinking of the time oftentimes follows what was actually brought in by each individual.
所以那个时候呢，最流行的呢，就是所谓的般若中观哈。般若中观呢，就是主要呢，那个时候传进来的呢，比如说是道行般若经，好，然后还有一些大部的那个般若经，那个时候呢传进来，所以那个时候非常流行的就是大家在研究印度的所谓的中观、空观的思想。
So at that time, the thinking that was in vogue was belongs to the school of Madhyamika, Prajna Madhyamika. So a lot of the main texts from the Prajna school were introduced into China at that time, and that's what people studied and discussed greatly.
所以那个时候比较多谈的就是说，就是说所谓的一切的因缘哈，都是缘起性空。然后呢，从里面呢，就是一切的所有的万法都是因缘合而有的。但是呢，它也会因为一个因缘进入，所以呢，它又会整个改变它的结果。那这样的一个过程是非常的变化无常的。那那个时候就从所谓的因缘无常里面呢，去讨论到所谓里面的无自性这个部分，那也就是所谓的空这个概念。
So at that time, the phrase that's often being discussed is the dependent origination and empty nature. And oftentimes it's discussed in conjunction of the fact that every phenomenon in the world is affected by the coming together of cause and effect, cause and conditions. So the term impermanence was discussed and talking about that things has no intrinsic nature.
那这个空的概念跟当时非常流行的，就是魏晋时代非常流行的道家的那个 所谓道的境界呢，他们跟中国人，对中国人来说，他会把它做一个比拟，就是说，哦，这个是不是就是道家讲的那个道的境界？哦，这样。
So this actually sort of correspond with the Taoist school at that time from the Wei Jing Dynasty, where they also talk about similar state. So people will try to approximate the Buddhist notion to the Taoist notion and try to see if they are in any way comparable.
那所以有时候那个时候在那个时候呢，其实空这个字哈，对中国人来说，空就是什么都没有哈，他们比较不能理解这个空空性这个意思，就是梵文在讲的时候，所以他们只好理解，只好用那个当时他们比较理解的所谓的太虚，哦，太虚的这个境界，或者是逍遥，就是自在的那样的一个完全无拘无束的那一个境界，来诠释这个所谓的达到的那个空的境界。
So at that time, people had difficulty understand the notion of emptiness that's described in the Buddhist text.And oftentimes people were misinterpreted as nothing at all or voidness. So it was difficult to understand. So oftentimes it's compared to, and people try to draw a parallel between the notion of emptiness and the Taoist terminology of great emptiness, great space, or the phrase wonder in ease, wonder at ease, trying to approximate the state of emptiness to theseState that's described in these Taoist terms.
那在这个同时哈，交接的就是就是在中观传入的同时，其实还有一个叫做涅槃经哈，涅槃经还有就是传入。那涅槃经里面最重要提到的是一些佛性，众生皆有佛性的这个概念，也同时的在这个时间呢传入这样。
So at around this time, another important Buddhist text, Sutra, was also introduced, which is the Sutra of Nirvana. And it also, the focus of the Sutra is the fact that all sentient beings have the Buddha nature.
那所以呢，到底谁可以达到那个空的境界呢？那配合着那个涅槃经还有佛性论的观点，就是所有的众生都有都能够体会到这个空性，都有这个空性清净的这个本性。
So exactly who is it that are able to attain the state of emptiness and who's able to attain Buddhahood? Combining the thoughts and teachings in both sects, the notions of emptiness and every sentient beings have Buddha nature, it's believed that based on these texts thatAll sentient beings all have Buddha nature and all have the ability to attain Buddhahood.
所以对于中国人来说，空这个概念比较抽象。可是当说到说所有的众生都有具足这个本性的时候呢，他会从抽象呢走向比较具体。那所以整个的思想呢，开始就是可以慢慢的从般若真空呢走向那个涅槃妙有。也就是说，这个空的这个境界哦，其实是每一个人都具足的那个佛性，清净自在，然后无染的那个佛性。
So even though the notion of emptiness is more difficult for Chinese people at that time to grasp, but gradually as it moves toward the thinking that all sentient beings have Buddha nature, it becomes more concrete for a lot of the people.
那这个是叫做这个是佛教的思想的传入。那同时呢？因为佛教有典籍哈，就是这些传统的典籍传入，但是也同时也传入了一些禅经，禅讲禅的经典。
So this is a brief description of the progression of how the Buddhist thinking was introduced into China. Around the same time, in addition to these classical Buddhist sutra, there are also sutras that are related to the practice of Chan of meditation.
那个时候最有名的翻译家叫鸠摩罗什，那鸠摩罗什那个时候也带了几个禅经来，比如说安般守一经、坐禅三昧经，那还有另外一个达摩多罗禅师，他也带来就是也带来了他们的一个禅经，就是达摩多罗禅经。
The most famous translator at that time was Master Kumarajiva, And he introduced the sutra on mindfulness of inhalation and exhalation. Also, he also introduced the sutra on the concentration of sitting meditation. So in addition to him, these two texts, Master Dharmatara also introduced the sutra of the contemplation of Dharmatara into China.
那这一些经典，比如说安般守意经，它讲的是属习的法门，就是这个属习的法门讲得非常的详细。那坐禅三昧经也是讲坐禅要达到的一个三昧的境界。那这一些经典呢，其实都是一个次第一个次第的在修行禅法。
The Sutra on Mindfulness of Inhalation and Exhalation focus on the method of counting breath, and it has a very sequential progression in the text. Similarly, the Sutra on the Concentration of Sitting Meditation or Samadhi focuses on how to attain the state of Samadhi, and again, it has different stages and sequence.
但是如果对中国人那种特性，就是在魏晋玄学的时候，大家都在谈玄，在谈很玄很玄的东西，然后大家都一副那种逍遥自在，然后不想不理正事的这种状态的话，其实以中观跟佛性来相较于安般守意跟这些的话，那佛教的思想他们比较有兴趣。But
taking this into consideration of the time and place, during that time period, Chinese people were mostly focused on talking about the mysterious realm, not wanting to pay much attention to the mundane world or worldly affairs. So they are actually more keen on discussing notions of the Buddha nature compared to these different stages of meditation, they are less interested in them.
而且翻译经典的这一些大师们其实也没有特别重视这些禅经。
At the same time, those people who translated these meditation, these Chan Sutra, they did not pay any particular emphasis on them either.
你看到那个译场，鸠摩罗什的译场是很多人，上百人、上千人，那都是在翻那个大部头的般若经什么，然后大家都在讨论的就是般若经的内容，然后要怎么翻。所以呢，其实这个是中国人最有兴趣的。那鸠摩罗什在翻这些禅经的时候呢，只是稍微的，就是提说啊，这个是要实际去修行才可以证得的一个禅法。
So at that time, in the school of the Translation Institute of Kumarajiva, there were hundreds of translators there, and they were mostly focusing on the discussion of how to translate the Prajna Sutra, the big text, the great text. And so the translation of these meditation texts are more as a byproduct and less talked about. And often just describe in a sentence or two, say, oh, these you need to practice according to the different stages, follow it sequentially in order to attain the stage that's described.
这里面有一个很有趣的故事，比如说安般守意经，就是安世高在推禅法的时候呢，其实没有人知道安世高这个人，可是安世高自己本身在自己的国家，西域这个国家，他是一个非常有名的禅师。 可是来到中国之后呢，没有人理他，然后也不太知道这个胡子很长，然后样子很奇怪的人，他到底是谁。There's
actually an interesting story behind some of these texts. For instance, regarding the Sutra on Mindfulness of Inhalation and Exhalation, it was brought over by Master An Sigao. And he was actually a very famous Chan master in his own country. But when he came over to China, nobody paid much attention to him. This guy with long, great beard and someone who's from a foreign country, they did not pay much attention to what he wanted to teach.
那有一次呢，其实他是有跟着一个，如果我没有记错的话，是苻坚或者姚琴的时候。 那跟着一个就是他们聚首一方的那个自立为王的一个叫做苻坚哈， 那是一个皇帝哈，可是他也不知道这个禅师有什么力量。然后后来那个安世高有一天呢，就显现出那个神通，就是可以飞上天，然后又下来哈，然后又可以出火，又可以出水哈，然后就一下子不见，一下子出现哈，那样子哈，把那个皇帝看得一愣一愣的这样。
So, actually, at that time, Dharma Master An Si Gao, he followed and abided by one of the lords of that time, Fu Jian. He took one piece of land and proclaimed himself as one of the kings of that state. So Master An Si Gao followed him and just abided by him. But his power and his knowledge was not tapped into. People know very little about what he's capable of. Until one day, he finally exhibited some of his spiritual powers by manifesting fire or flying up to the sky. And it's only until then that people understood how great of a practitioner he was.
甚至于呢，有一次军队来的时候呢，然后快要把那个军队的那整个都要湮灭了，然后安世高用一些神通呢，比如说出一个大水，哦，结果那整个军队呢就全部就退散了哈，哦，结果那皇帝觉得哇，这个立了大功哦，这个是高升高升哈，哦，然后就把他放了变成是国师级了。
There was also another incident where the enemy came to attack and the army of Fu Jian was about to succumb to the pressure, but then An Si Gao came in and used his spiritual power and introduced a lot of flood and flood away the enemies. So then Fu Jian finally understood what a great master this is and made him into a national figure, the head of headmaster of the state of the country.
对翻译很不好意思，这一段没有跟他先讲，他没有准备。
Okay,
it's okay. 好，那所以你可以知道说，那个时候的禅师哈，要让人家知道或者是要被供养的话，其实他要显现一点神通。
So based on these examples, you could see that around that time, the great Chan masters, in order to be recognized or to get some sort of offerings from people, they actually have to show their spiritual power to demonstrate their attainment.
所以其实，在那个时候，大家对于所谓禅者哈，然后打坐，然后面壁，然后躲在山洞里，那一些人的那些禅师的概念就是，哦，这些人哦法力无边，哦，然后呢是很会神通的，然后就是坐在那边一整天不会动的，那个时候的那个概念几乎都是这样。
So at that time, usually the way people perceive these Chan masters are, these people are really good at sitting. They can sit in a cave for days without moving, and they tend to have spiritual powers, they're really powerful people, and that's all they knew about these Chan masters.
这又像什么呢？又像中国人，哦，这个就像我们道家那些道士，哦，躲在山林里面炼丹，然后练功，很像这样子。
So naturally, people drew the parallel of these Chan masters to the Taoist practitioners who also hermit in the mountains and practice all sorts of Taoist methods. So there was a link between Chan masters and the Taoist practitioners.
那一直到菩提达摩进入，哦，然后他带来的经典就是楞伽经。
So the way proceeded just like this until Bodhidharma came into China, and the text that he brought in with him was Lankavatara Sutra.
那后来传给慧可，然后一直传到僧璨，哦，那这几个传承里面呢，大多数都应用的是楞伽经这个思想。
Then later on he transmitted the Dharma to the second patriarch 慧可, which then transmitted to the third patriarch, Sun Chan. And their teaching basically follows the principles that are laid out in the Sutra of Lankavatara.
那因为菩提达摩他用楞伽经这个思想呢，开始跟前面所传的禅经呢开始有点区别，因为楞伽经它主要重视后面提到的就是如来藏的思想。
So the Lankavatara Sutra that's used by Bodhidharma, there's actually a significant distinction between Lankavatara as well and the earlier sutra, the Chan Sutras that was introduced. Because Lankavatara actually focused on the notion of Buddha Dhatu, where all sentient beings exhibits Buddha nature.
所以从那种所谓神通的慢慢转向说, 开始去探讨我们心性这个东西，那我们心性这个东西其实是可以慢慢呢 沉淀，然后呢，它是可以清净无染的。
So the focus started to shift from attaining spiritual power to the discovery of our own Buddha nature, our own mind, and gradually understanding that through settling the mind and quieting the mind, the Buddha nature will reveal itself.
那所以从普利达摩里面的一些著作，我们可以看到说，他强调的是凡圣等一。到慧可有一些记录上有提到他提到了生佛不二这样的一个思想，就是禅的思想。你可以看到说，就是不管你是凡夫或者是圣者，不管你是一个众生或者是一个佛，你其实是没有什么差别的。
Based on some of the earlier texts written by Bodhidharma, we could see an echoing theme that the ordinary and the saintly are one and the same. Similarly, the second patriarch Huike also brought forth the notion of the physical body and the Buddha body, they are one and not two. So based on these terminologies and concepts, we could see that what they propose, what they are pushing for is the notion that ordinary people and the saints, or sentient beings and the Buddha, they are all one and the same. There's no difference between their intrinsic nature.
那到生灿的时候，他提任性逍遥，这个任性呢，就是如果我们可以把佛性这个根本，我们具足这个佛性呢，可以顺自然的随着很自然的顺着那个佛性发展的话，就是呈现出来的话，其实我们可以很逍遥自在的，就是过日子。
By the time of the third patriarch Sun Chan, then at that time he was proposing the idea of go according to our Buddha nature naturally and let it develop and expand itself. And by doing so, we'll be able to reach a state of wonder at ease.
所以这个时候我们可以看到说，其实慢慢的，我们禅法的思想呢，它从神通，然后慢慢走向说，其实我们的心性是可以慢慢的沉淀沉静下来的，然后呢，最后呢，其实我们的众生的心性其实跟佛的心性是一样的。那整个的过渡时期就到这里，然后到这个时候一直到四祖到五祖的时候呢，就很强调这个心性，就是我们如果能够守着这个心，看着这个心，那其实呢，我们的心慢慢的就可以达到跟佛一样。
So as you can see, there's a progression from first emphasizing the spiritual powers and then gradually to the studying, exploring, discovering the Buddha nature, our intrinsic nature. And by settling the mind, gradually understanding the notion that the mind and the Buddha or sentient beings are one and the same. And gradually, by the time of the fourth and fifth patriarch, they started talking about protecting the mind, holding the mind, and watching the mind. And by using different methods of watching the mind, gradually attaining and realizing the Buddha mind.
那在生灿以后呢，其实所谓的四祖道信跟五祖弘忍呢，他们也开始有一些所谓禅修体验的一些著作出现。那从他们的著作里面，其实可以看到所谓心这样的一个概念的重视。那变成所谓前面的那一些禅经讲的所谓的前面刚传入的时候所谓的属习观。 不净观，或者是四圣地，或者十二因缘这些东西呢，变得慢慢不受重视。然后慢慢的，我们只要凝心入定， 然后整个只要打坐，我们的心就守着这个心哦，让它不要散乱，其实呢就可以了。所以方法开始转换。
So by the time of the fourth and fifth patriarchs, Master Daoxin and Master Hongren, and based on their writings, we can see there's a shift toward emphasizing the importance of the mind. And so the earlier methods of counting breath or the notions of the 12 dependent origination, etc., some of the earlier thoughts actually gradually were faded, and the focus became watching the mind by focusing, settling the mind, entering samadhi, and then gradually revealing the Buddha mind. So there was a progression, a shift in the methods as well.
那所以他这个是我们刚讲的哈。那到了道信弘忍这个时候，起信论传入中国。那起信论更强调大圣起信论更强调如来藏这个佛性的思想。所以呢，道信跟弘忍呢，开始慢慢从楞伽经转移到呢引用起信论的内容，作为他们的禅修期间的那些开示的内容。
By the time of the fourth patriarch Daoxin and the fifth patriarch Hongren, the text of awakening of faith was introduced into China, and the awakening of faith actually focused on the notion of Buddha Dhatu, which every sentient being has Buddha nature. So by looking at some of the commentaries and teachings passed down from Daoxin and Hongren, we could see that they started to incorporate what they learned earlier from the text of Lankavatara and start incorporating some of the principles and starting to focus more on the awakening of faith, the notion of Buddha Dhatu.
所以你可以看到说在那个其实这个佛性的思想呢，其实在深忏的新习名就可以看到他后面达到的境界，他用真如这些字眼，那这些所谓真如啦什么，其实就是像如来一样的那种清净的性他们用真如这个字眼，其实也是受到这一些佛性论起信论的影响。
So, as we can see later on in the text of Awakening of Faith, terminology like true suchness got introduced into the text. They start talking about that as the final state of attainment, which is true suchness. It means just exactly like the Buddha, exactly like the Tathagatas, where our nature is pure and undefiled to begin with.
那为什么要讲这一段呢？就是新习明接下来讲到新习明的时候，这个思想啊，我们就不会特别强调。但是呢，从新习明的开始一直到新习明的结束哈，这么长的这个诗记里面，其实呢，它整个贯穿了次第的修行方法，然后一直到呢，你要把次第的修行方法从有方法，慢慢呢放掉这个方法，然后走向你的心的统一，心的一。达到一手的这个一，然后最后连这个一呢都慢慢要放掉，到最后呢你要去体证到所谓的空，跟你如来的那个你就空里面呢，你就可以体会到你自己的佛性的清净。它有这样的一个整个思想的一个痕迹，整个过程。
Why are we talking about this? The notion of Buddha Dhatu, we're not going to especially emphasize in our explanation of this particular text, Faith and Mind, today and in the later lectures. But I had to mention the history of where this text was situated, because from in this long verse of Faith and Mind, it's a very long poem or long verse, you could actually see traces of the progression going from stages, different practice methods, from having methods gradually moving on to letting go of the methods, and then gradually move on to the unification of the mind, then finally achieving the state of emptiness and realizing that mind is similar to the Buddha's mind. There's one and no difference. So you will see the trace throughout the actual text of Faith and Mind.
所以如果我们用比较思想方面的 的角度来看新西明，它的确是有这样的内容。那但是我大概只有讲到这个部分哦，接下来呢会站在比较修行的面，那怎么样去一层一层的达到这样的一个过程做解释。
So we basically what we just talked about, we discussed try to have a cross-sectional look of the faith in mind by talking about it, the philosophical aspect, where ideas, notions in the text, where it actually came from and where it's moving on to. So that's the philosophical aspect or historical aspect. Now we're going to turn to the more the aspect that focuses more on actual practice and methods that are taught in faith in mind.
那最后提到说，为什么到六祖的时候他会引用《金刚经》呢？那也就是说，因为在五祖以前呢，大家都在守心、看心、凝心，然后就一直守着那个心，就一直坐在那里坐很久。结果呢，本来呢是让那个心慢慢的清净，可以呈现出佛性的那个自在跟活泼，结果做到最后呢就定在那里。那这一个也就是后来为什么六祖坛经里面所就是所不赞成，然后所要抨击的对象，就是这一些一直守着心看着心然后不动的这一些禅修者。所以他就强调的是金刚经的那个就是都破的那个思想。
But just alluding to the sixth patriarch Huinen, the text that he actually focused on was the Diamond Sutra. And why was that? That was because in the times of the fourth, fifth patriarch, they started to emphasize greatly the notion of settling the mind, watching the mind, and concentrating, focusing the mind. And so there's a lot of emphasis on sitting meditation. And the purpose of these methods was originally so that you can achieve the state of realizing your own Buddha nature and realizing the pure Buddha nature that is lively, spontaneous, and pure all at the same time. But what ended up happening with all this extensive sitting of watching the mind, concentrating, focusing the mind was people ended up getting stuck in that state and not able to use it practically. So the sixth patriarch, by alluding more, using the Diamond Sutra, was using the text to break away all these notions, negating all these different existing practice to help people break away from the hold that they have been trapped in.
Hey.对，但是没有那么强调，到六祖以后就开始几乎都是以金刚经了。那时候弘忍那时候还有那个楞禅，就是文殊波罗那个经嘛，他们有用那个文殊波罗。对，对，是，你要不要翻译？
So there was a question from Chandi Fashi saying that, well, actually, in the times of the fifth patriarch, they started to teach the Diamond Sutra already, and that is why they were discussing it in the way place, and there was a chance for it to spread out and for Huinen to hear it. And the answer was, yes, they were starting to talk about the Diamond Sutra, but perhaps it wasn't as greatly emphasized until the time of the sixth patriarch.
那在弘忍的时候的确是整个道场已经开始引用金刚经了，可是他们的修行方法到最后为什么说弘忍大师还是说你们还是依那个神秀写的那个记好好的用功修行，对吧？那还有呢，整个禅法呢其实在北部禅宗整个在北部的时候呢还是以神秀，就是弘忍接神秀，神秀接弘忍的那一系，就是楞伽系为比较盛行，直到后面六祖他在南方开发出了整个南方的禅的时候，那整个的禅风就开始转变，这样它是一个过渡啦。
So it was actually a transitional period between the fifth patriarch, and that's why the fifth patriarch actually told his disciples to follow, use the method that's described by Master Shen Xiu. who headed the northern school, Chan school at that time. And Master Shen Xiu actually followed the Sutra of Lankavatara. That's that school of thought where practice and methods, there's a sequential sequence to them. And it wasn't until the time of Hui Nan, who headed the southern school, where suddenly the method just changed and it went on a different direction.
我先把这段讲完再让你问问题哦，后面有一位。那其实也有很多学者也认为说禅宗呢是从六祖开始，那也有一些学者认为呢禅宗是从五祖弘忍就开始的，就像禅帝法师提的那个，因为他的影响力其实是影响着六祖未来的思想。好，那也有人说因为是菩提达摩把整个禅法带进来，跟以前的翻译的禅经不一样，所以也有人认为是从 菩提达摩开始的，所以单单是学者呢就有这三种想法，就是禅宗到底是要切在哪里，从哪里开始，就会有不同的说法。Let
me finish this section before letting the person in the back raise more questions. So basically, even among scholars, Buddhist scholars, there are controversies still about the actual origination of the Chan school. Some people said that it started from the sixth patriarch. And some people said that because it was passed down from the fifth patriarch, so it actually the original date should go back to the fifth patriarch. There's a third camp of scholars actually believe that because it was Bodhidharma that started to propagate the teaching in Lankavatara Sutra, which was distinctively different than all the Chan-related sutra that was introduced even before his time. So the Chan school actually started out from Bodhidharma. So even amidst academic scholars, there are still these three different camps of thoughts regarding the actual origination date of the Chan school of thought.
如果以中国禅宗史的发展，还有中国佛教史的发展的影响力跟那个重要性比较大来说的话呢，是以六祖为一个分界点。六祖以前都叫早期的禅宗。 然后六祖以后呢，叫南宗的禅宗，就是一花开五叶，就是六祖分出了五个弟子，然后分出了五个宗派。那它开始完全是属于中国式的禅法，就跟前面印度的次第禅观完全是已经整个分道扬镳了。所以呢，而且呢，它影响整个中国呢，变成大家都喜欢好要禅法，乃至于到最后八宗里面只剩下禅宗跟净土宗。 那这影响力来说呢，就是比较多的人是会赞成说以六祖为一个分界点。But
if we try to make the distinction, tracing back to original starting point of the Chan school, depending on the criteria you use, the criteria you use is its influence, how much it has influenced the Chinese Buddhism and Chinese way of thinking. Then oftentimes the consensus is the sixth patriarch is the dividing line. Before him, it's called the earlier Chan thought, Chan thinking. After him, it becomes the southern school of Chan, where a common phrase is one flower brought forth five leaves. So starting from him, there are five additional Chan schools that were branched out of his teaching. And that's the beginning of Chinese style Chan, Chinese Chan. And from his point on, there was a stark distinction between the earlier Indian Chan that was introduced and Chinese Chan. There's a clear distinction between the two from that point on. And the influence of Huinan extended even further to later on. Buddhism in China was divided into eight different schools, and to today, the surviving two are Chan and the School of Pure Land. They're the most popular ones to this day. So that shows how much influence his thinking and teaching had on the entire history of not just Chinese Buddhism, but even Chinese culture and history.
那师父为什么在整个早期禅宗里面的所有的著作里面特别选僧璨来作为一个说明呢? 其实这里面有一个很关键的因素，是因为呢，中国禅宗发展到宋以后，弘智正觉禅师的末造的内容呢，因为师父发现弘智正觉禅师引用的一些内容，其实呢，他有回溯到就是六祖以前的这些思想，那就是属于这一些比较关心看境的这一些思想。所以师父也特别说，从信心明可以看到末造的源头，思想的源头。其实那末造看到这个思想的源头，末造为什么会又回到这个六祖以前呢？这又是一段历史的发展。
But why did 师父 particularly chose to teach the faith in mind amidst of all these different texts available? That's because he realized that 弘智正觉, who was after Song, in the latter period of Song Dynasty, in his writings, there were actually traces of thinkings from earlier days before the sixth patriarch. In the text, there were notions of watching the mind, contemplating the mind, and watching quietude, sit in stillness, these kind of thinkings. And those are actually considered by Shi Fu as the source, the original source of Hong Zhi Zheng Jue's silent illumination method. And that's why he went back and commented on the faith in mind.
这个是师父在评价还有在看信心明这个诗记的时候最特别的观点。那目前为止我们所知道的，没有人会把宋朝的末造跟那个三祖的信心明是结合在一起的。那师父引用的是比如那几句话，比如说一念万年，像类似这样的句子，其实是跟末造的方法是很相似的。
And this is one special insight of Shi Fu, which hasn't really been seen elsewhere in other academic or other teachings of other people, which is linking Song Dynasty's silent illumination method of Hong Zhi Zheng Jue with the third patriarch Sun Can's faith in mind, making the link between the two. And Shi Fu made the link based on some of the common phrases in the faith in mind, such as one thought transposes what 10,000 years. So these phrases could actually be found both in Sun Can's text as well as Hong Zhi Zheng Jue's text.
请问你还要问吗？还是继续 ？OK，OK， 好。对不起哈，因为这段要连续讲哦，不然会忘记哈。那我想哦，因为这个历史是其实是非常有趣的，我自己觉得有趣啦。我不知道你们在下面听了有没有快要睡着哦。可是我会发现说，其实整个过程它其实就是一个因缘的变化，因缘的变化，然后最后呢导致不同的结果，这样。
I don't know if you find all these talks about history interesting. I personally find it extremely fascinating because it's an exact embodiment of causes and conditions and how conditions have changed and leading to different results. And that's why I spend so much time on the historical aspect of how this verse came about and what it eventually led to.
因为你会发现说，本来是重视这个，后来因为这个出现问题，然后用另外一个来对峙这个，然后唐以后的禅宗发展也是变成为了要对峙那个六祖慧能以前的，又发展成另外一套，可是又过度了，变成口头禅，变成什么禅的时候，到宋的时候又要对峙唐所发生的这些问题，又回到早期的这个禅法，它就是一直这样，有点像就是整个的流变的过程也非常的有趣哈。
So I find it very, very interesting because you oftentimes one thinking or one method became popular and then later on people found it's problematic in some aspect. And then so they try to come up with other methods to antidote to treat the problem. So similarly, the six patriarchs starting to talk about, try to attack or try to break people away from the overemphasis on sitting meditation. And then later on in Tang Dynasty, there were also methods that's trying to dismantle some of what the sixth patriarch was talking about. And then further on into the Song Dynasty, people realized the methods that was used in the Tang Dynasty wasn't as effective either, so they tried to come up with further treatment by tracing back to the earlier text from the third patriarch. So this progression of history, of the development of these methods and thinking is extremely fascinating to me.
你要问问题,
yeah, just one comment. The one master that you mentioned, Hong Zhi Zheng Jue, he's the founder of the Silent Illumination Zen. When he was alive, he was criticized. He was really criticized by the founder of the Kong master, Xing Da Hui. But when he died, Master Da Hui really paid deep respect to him. So I was just saying, just like you said, it's just a process of evolving. A process of finding what's the best way toward enlightenment.
Annie, do you want me to translate into Chinese?
Please.
Okay, 不好意思。那个就是像师父讲的，他不断在转化因缘，目的就是说为众生怎么样找到最快的、最适合的明心见性的方法。所以我刚才举了一个例子，那个弘智正觉禅师在世的时候被我们参话头的祖师大慧宗杲批评，但是弘智正觉去世的时候，大慧宗杲非常非常非常珍惜他，还写了很多那个纪念的。 OK, that's it.
好，哎，我们这段历史好像差不多到这里就可以了。OK,
we'll probably we'll just end the historical aspect here, and then we're going to move on to other aspects of the text.
所以我们稍微做一些结论哈，就是早期的时候从小圣禅过渡到大圣禅哦，那就是宁心入定，然后常坐数息苦行啊，求神通，这我们刚刚讲的哈。但是呢，慢慢的吼会想要去转成去观心性的那个空性，然后。所以刚开始的时候呢是求禅定，然后先由定来发慧，到最后呢开始从定跟慧开始要同步，同时就是定慧等持这样的一个整个发展，那最后呢甚至于结合到如来藏佛性的这个思想，然后以修心为重，这个整个的演变就是从小圣过渡到大圣禅的这个过程。
So just a quick summary, what we talked about is basically the progression, the transition from the small...
这边的小圣不是班提尔巴达吧？应该是吧？
不是，就是次第禅吧，就可以了。
From the sequential aspect approach to Chan, to the Mahayana Chan,where it started out from having particular methods, and there's an overemphasis on spiritual power, sequence of practice, attaining samadhi, gradually moving on to focusing on the nature, the mind, and watching the mind, distilling the mind, focusing on samadhi as a way to bring forth wisdom, gradually moving on to samadhi and wisdom are one and the same, and they should be cultivated simultaneously, and eventually to the notion of Buddha nature. And so this is a historical transition, progression of the Chan thinking at that time.
那生禅呢，那就刚好是在这个慢慢转到自性本净的这个如来藏思想重修心体悟心证的这个阶段，就是刚好是处在这样的一个过程这个阶段。
So, Master Sun Chan happened to situate at that time transitioning into the school of Buddha Datu, where sentient beings all have pure natures originally.
其实这个跟整个佛教发展的整个佛教思想到禅学的思想，其实两个上下哈，一个是上面。跟下面其实是两个是相呼应的哈，因为它是整个时代的一个思潮。
So, the philosophy, the Buddhist philosophy, though, that's actually on the top of the line, moving from transposing, borrowing translation to Madhyamika and to Buddhadhatu philosophy. So the thinkings above the line, as well as the actual methods and emphasis of practice, these two actually echo each other. They correspond with each other.
好，接下来呢，我们就真的要去看这首诗的内容了哈。那其实第一句最关键哈，那就是说整首诗我们全部忘了哈，我们记得第一句就够用了。
So we are actually now really for sure going to delve into the text of the verse Faith in Mind. And so the first verse is the supreme way is not difficult if only you do not pick and choose. This is actually the most important phrase in this whole text. If you don't remember anything I said today, just remembering this line is will be very beneficial.
那这个英文的翻译呢，是师父跟一些就是师父在讲的时候的这些禅弟子们一起讨论，然后就是等于是重新翻译的一个诗句，就是翻成英文。
The the English translation of the text was actually done when 师父was teaching this verse and he had extensive discussion with his English-speaking disciples there in the audience and hammered out the English translation. So it's also a re-explanation of the text.
所以有时候我们中文看不懂，我们看英文还比较懂。
So sometimes if we have difficulty understanding the Chinese classical text, it's sometimes easier to actually read the English part.
因为 Yes?
The translation says the supreme way.
The supreme way.
Yeah.
No, I just asked if it was attaining or the supreme way, but okay.
In our text, it's
I've seen other translations,
yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, okay. We're just going by this book.
Oh, okay.
Entirely and not critiquing at this time. Can't.
Thank you. Is this any different?
他说他有看到别的版本。
对，那两个词有不一样吗？
The ones that you're saying is to attain the way, attaining the way.
有不一样啊，因为他把那个你这边制造的字是翻成
名词，
形容词嘛。
名词。
Because that way, then it's not neither a supreme nor an ordinary way. It's just the way, and it's attaining it.
他把那个字用另外一个版本是翻成动词。
好，哎，自道这两个字哈，其实在这句话里面，自道无难哈，它是自道是一个词，在中文里面它是一个词合在一起的，它是一个名词，名词。
Actually, here the first two characters, which is translated into the supreme way, it's one terminology actually in Chinese. So it's a noun. Together, it's a compound noun.
Yeah. 所以不是动词，就是你要达到的。
So it's not the verb to attain, to reach it, to attain it. It's
因为你已经到那个位置了。
Oh, yeah. Because you're already there.
Yeah.
You're already there. Yeah. It's not
okay.
To get there.
所以不好翻就是这样。
I'm sorry about my ignorance, but isn't the supreme way one thing and...You know, the attaining the way of attaining Buddha nature and the supreme way of attaining maybe emptiness, just merging into emptiness.
他是要问问题，还是说他是解释那个
？I'm sorry, is this a question? Can you please rephrase it?A little bit louder, please.
The argument here, I'm sorry for my ignorance, okay? The argument is the attainment of the attaining way or the supreme way, you know, isn't there maybe one path higher than the other? Meaning that is okay, you know, like I can't go for Buddha nature, but I can go higher than Buddha nature?
No.
To total.
是更高吗？
Yeah, 他是认为是更高吗？
比佛陀的那个佛性更高吗？
对。
No?
所以问题是问说至道无难的至道是不是至道说不定它是一条途径得到一个比得到佛性更高的一个境界是这个样子吗这是问题
哦不是哈、哦、师父的解释哈、哦、还我们开始讲哈、哦
啊、
OK
So the quick answer is no it's not higher it's the same
Yeah it's the same 哈、哦就我们来看师父怎么解释哈，因为我不是师父哈，所以呢，我还是要一个根据哈，我们师父怎么说。
So let's actually redirect our attention to 师父's explanation because I am not 师父 so I actually need to base on his text as a guidance to teach this verse.
不过我喜欢这样有互动啦哈。
But I do like this interaction, questioning. It's great. Thank you.
Okay.啊，我们先看师父怎么说哈、哦。师父说的至道呢，是指佛的智慧、佛的果位，代表是最高的成就。
So this is what 师父 said. 至道 the supreme way is the state of Buddhahood. The result, the state of Buddhahood, and that is the highest.
所以它已经是最高了。
It's already the highest, the supreme, most supreme way.
那你这个最高的这个智道呢是怎么样呢？师父说不难，就是你要就是到达这个境界哈、哦，有这个境界不难。
So exactly what is the supreme way or how to achieve it? 师父 said that it's not difficult. It's not difficult to reach the supreme way.
那你们觉得难吗
？It's not difficult to be at the supreme way to.
正在那个位置哈 ，OK。那师父怎么说哈？其实成佛其实不难，也就是说你要到这个智道哈，在这个智道的状态之下，其实不难。那因为呢，师父认为说呢，就是佛从来就是没有离开过我们哈。那他其实呢，只要我们一念不生，当下其实就是佛。
So.To be at the stage of Buddhahood is not difficult because the state of Buddhahood has never departed from us. It's with us at all time. But how do you reach it? How can you be at that state, at that stage of Buddhahood? It's not difficult to perceive and it can be attained.In the instant between two thoughts.
现在你都不能用 attain 了。
You can be there, the very moment, the very instant of when not one thought arises.
因为师父用那个 can be attain 是那个过去式的，对，就是你还是可以达到，但是已经是在那个状态了，对。
So in the original translation, attain is used in past tense. The focus is not to get there. The focus it should be we are already there at the time, at every instant, right at this very moment.
那为什么我们可以在那个佛的状态呢？师父提到的就是所谓的，其实所谓佛从未离开过我们，就是说，其实我们这里面就是如来藏的思想，就是我们本具佛性哈。那但是要怎么样能够呈现出来呢？就是我们一念不生。但是这个一念英文的翻译比较有趣哈、哦、，between two thoughts， 是不是？嗯，哎，它翻译比较有趣。
So, the reason why it's not difficult to be at the state of the Buddhahood is because it has never been separated from us. It's always present. As long as it's present in the very instant.Between two thoughts, and the English translation here is actually quite interesting. The Chinese text says when not one thought arises, but here it's translated in the instant between two thoughts. It's at that instant where we're already at the state of Buddhahood.
这个呢，就可能要问西方众了。你们看看你们可不可以体会，就是两念之间是什么叫一念？为什么它会翻成这样？哈。
So we actually have to pose this question to the English speakers, native speakers, where what exactly is the state of between two thoughts? Perhaps what we're going to talk about later can explain this conundrum here.
那师父其实一句话就讲完了，自道无难，其实不难哦。那但是我们听完之后，我们是不是也觉得说，现在我们就具足佛性，我们真的很容易得到，就是达到那个佛的境界。你会这样觉得吗？
So 师父 actually made it very easy. He simplified everything into one sentence. The supreme way is not difficult. But after hearing what he said, hearing this explanation, do you indeed feel that we are currently already in the state of Buddhahood? Do you have that sense?
你相信这样的人请举手，就是我就是可以成佛了这样。
Do you believe it? If you believe so, raise your hand, please, that we are already in this very instant at the state of Buddha.
你看不到一半哦。
See, not even half of you raise your hand.
手没有举的人是怎样？然后有举的是怎样？有举的是因为师父讲的，所以我相信啊。
So what makes those of you raise your hand? Why do you believe it? Is it because 师父 said it?
或者是就是本来就这样，你很有信心。
Or do you feel that it's the way it should be, it's the way it is, and you are very confident about it?
State of Buddhahood can be attained only through meditation only. If you don't meditate, you cannot really.
So we can?
If you don't meditate, you are not in Buddhahood, or in Buddha nature. Only through meditation we can attain Buddha.Yes, no.
是一定要透过禅修才能够达到佛的，才能够在佛的境界里吗？还是说不透过禅修我们
就？他是问还是说直接解答
？I'm sorry, is this a statement, a comment, or a question?
你看他的认为，对。
所以这是他自己个人的见解，认为说你如果不禅修的话，那你就不是在佛的的境界里面了。
所以如果不是佛教徒，就没有办法达到佛的境界喽。
So based on your logic, does it mean that if you're not a Buddhist, then you are not in the state of Buddhahood?
因为佛教徒要 meditation 嘛。
If you do not meditate, you are not in any state of enlightenment. And Buddha nature is a state of enlightenment. We can say, yes, this person is good, but not necessarily Buddha.
Yeah.
所以他说的是他是还是认为说不禅修的话，你就不是在开悟的状态，不是在开悟的状态，就不是在佛的状态。佛的，
就是，他说一般的人的那一些状态，其实只是一般聪明，或者是比那个不是佛的状态。对，是刚刚他有讲这一句。后面还有一位 ，Yes， 他那是他想法而已，没关系。Yes。
I've always loved that line, the first line of this. It's one of my favorite teachings, but what I like most of all, and you know, what does the supreme way mean? Is there some way above that or below that? I don't know. I'm not worried about that. Supreme way means Buddhahood. You want to be a Buddha? How do you do it? Well, it's not too hard if you don't pick and choose. Now, what does that mean? That's where the line gives us an insight into what our practice should be. Yes. And how we and the goal that we're striving for. And it's a goal of really radical acceptance of anything that happens. Now, you know, it's like the paramita of patience or putting up whatever comes, I accept it, whatever comes. When I have to die, I will accept it.
Yeah.
Right? I won't pick and choose between, yeah. I won't say, well, being alive is what I really want, right? So it's a sort of radical expression of the idea that most people who start studying Buddhism, they hear about the Buddha says that the source of our problems is desire, right? So it's sort of aiming at that. Desire really is, as I understand it, just one of the many vexations that are the real sources of our problems. You know, the vexations that make us crazy and make us pick and choose. You know,
yeah.
we,
yes.
you know, somebody, something.
I can't remember.
Too much. 没关系，你不用翻了。Oh. 大概他讲他的意思。Yes.
Continue, please. Sorry.
Because she wanted to translate.
I was trying to translate. I can't hold this in.
大概就可以了。大概大多数人可以理解。你需要翻成中文的，举手。有吗？
六菩萨是说，这第一句话是上他学佛读了很多经典里面是他最喜欢的一句话。那这是一个我们修行的指南，跟代表到达最后的境界的一个指标。就是在这个过程中，这是一个跟传统很不一样的，就是完全的不谴责，就是在佛陀的境界。这是一个非常精简的对他刚刚说的那一些话的翻译。
So sorry for, it's okay.
Sorry.
What? Continue. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, it's, you know, don't pick and choose. I mean, would a Buddha pick and choose? Answer, no, because Buddhas accept everything. But does that mean that Buddhas don't try to improve the world? Buddhas do not try to help people who are in trouble. Buddhas do not do all of those things. The answer is no.Buddhas still try to go out into the world and help sentient beings. This goes back to the beginning of the Diamond Sutra, where I forget which the Bodhisattva is, but he asked the Buddha, Buddha, what is the highest state of mind that we should all be striving for? And the Buddha says, well, it has two characteristics. One, you will devote 100% of your time and energy to liberating all sentient beings. All sentient beings. Liberate them. But the other aspect is, at the same time, you will understand that no sentient beings really exist. Okay? Now that's a seemingly sort of, if you think about it in ordinary world terms, that's kind of contradictory.You would think that you would say, well, if they don't really exist, why do I have to worry about saving them? And
okay.
I'd go do something else, right? But that is, it's understanding that contradiction and living your life in the spirit of that contradiction. That's what Buddhism is.
Okay, thank you. 简单的翻好了。
即使佛的境界里面我们不做任何的谴责，可是并不表示我们什么事情都不做。佛菩萨们他们也是很慈悲的，要度脱一些众生。那这个让我想到《金刚经》里面，其中前面部分有一个菩萨请示，佛陀说到底是什么最高的境界啊？最高境界就是要尽行受度脱一切众生。第二个是同时无众生相，无人相，无寿者相等等，那就同时要能够两者兼顾，就是所谓的我们在学佛我们要得到的境界。
好，所以下面都是卧虎藏龙的哈。
So it's actually hidden tigers and hidden dragon and crouching tigers in the amidst the audience. All of you know a lot about Buddhism already.
所以我很感恩你们能够有耐心坐在那边听我这样子慢慢讲。
So I'm actually very thankful for you sitting there patiently listening to my talk while you know so much.
你们的境界可能都比我高。
Your attainments are probably much higher than mine already.
Okay, 没关系，我就是把师父讲的哦，跟大家分享哦，然后做说明一下。
No matter, I'll share with what I learned from 师父's teaching and from his commentary with you still.
其实我们都认为，我们都知道哈，其实我们本具清净的佛性，这在知见上是很容易可以理解，也可以接受的哈。但是呢，我们还是会有这个表情哈。那这个表情就是什么呢？成佛很难哦，成佛还是很难。就是我明明知道我有这个佛性哈，可是我还是觉得哦，这个佛性要呈现出来很难哦。
So even though we all know intellectually that we have a pure Buddha nature, but as to believing and actually perceiving it, it's another story. And that's why we still have that, you see that frowning face icon where no matter what we know intellectually, we still think that it's difficult to be in the state of Buddhahood.
其实里面关键的是什么呢？其实就是这个一念。
But what But what is the pivotal? What is the pivotal point? The turning key is this one thought, this instant between two thoughts.
那这一个一念哈，就是什么呢？因为我们很难达到一直处在一念的状态，因为我们会有拣择。
And what is this instant between two thoughts? It's actually very difficult for us to inhibit, to continuously be in that state of between two thoughts. And why is that so? Because we pick and choose.
那所谓的拣择，就是说有所选择，然后有所分跟别。
And what does pick and choose mean? It means that we make distinctions.
那分别什么呢？好，我们比较高一点的呢是什么呢？我们会分别有生死跟有涅槃，然后有烦恼，又有菩提，好，然后有众生，有佛。你会发现呢，有这个分，有这个生死，相对来说就有涅槃，这样一个就是左边右边两边各，我们都会认为有这样两个不同。
What do we try to make distinction of? If you have a sort of already have a higher state of understanding, then at least we make distinctions between samsara and nirvana, between vexations and enlightenment, between sentient beings and the Buddha.
那这个分别哈，其实左边那一边的呢，是我们所害怕的，我们所不喜欢的，然后右边那个呢，是我们想要去达到的哈。
So the circles on the left hand, on the left column, are the ones that we are afraid of, the one we are rejecting, that we are trying to get away from, and the ones on the right column, Nirvana, enlightenment, and Buddha, are the states that we want to achieve, the desirable state.
那这样的一个观念哈，就是我们会自然而然就去分别的，这个是一种业习。夜习的意思就是说我们思考的习惯，就是一个新的行为是很 automatic 的，就是很自然就出现的，不是只有你这辈子，只要是我们这个人的这个业报身、哦、我们自然而然就会有这样的一个这个反应，就是好坏喜欢不喜欢的这个反应。
So the reason why we make these distinctions is because we follow our karmic patterns. It's a habitual pattern that we have in the way we think. And it comes up very naturally, automatically. And it doesn't start from this very lifetime. We have accumulated this habit. It's entrenched in this habit, life over life. And it's just a reaction, immediate reaction to all sorts of phenomena and situations that we make distinctions between what is good and what is bad, what is desirable and what is undesirable.
那所以其实呢，师父其实有说哈，其实成佛哈，达到这个佛的境界是不难的哈。但是比较关键的就是后面那一句，就是唯嫌拣择，就是我们到最后一直没有办法一直在那个知道的境界，就是因为我们一直都在拣择。
So 师父 said the supreme way is not difficult if only you do not pick and choose. And the reason why we cannot continuously stay in that state of enlightenment or of the state of Buddhahood is because we're constantly making the decisions between good and bad and choosing between one over another.
如果举个例子，师父举个譬喻，就是其实智道呢是很轻松的，就像什么呢？你用一把扇子哈、哦、接羽毛，这个譬喻大家很多人都听过哈、哦，就是我们要怎么样接那个很轻的羽毛哦，在扇子上哦，然后不动哦，你走到哪里哈、哦，那个羽毛都在你的扇子上，你就是你要怎么样呢？你要去追它吗？然后你要不断的去用力的去拍它，或者然后让它把它粘上去吗？好、哦，你怎么样去让那个羽毛可以一直在你的扇子上？
So there's an analogy that Shifu used before as a way to describe describe the supreme way, that it should be very relaxing and without using too much effort. It's as if you're trying to catch a feather on the fan. How do you catch this feather? How do you let this feather stay on the fan without moving it no matter where you go? Do you use a lot of force to try to catch it, to run after it? Or do you use super glue to glue it on your fan? How do you do it exactly?
你回去可以练习哦，拿就是拿一个扇子，然后就这样，就是练习看看。
You can try it at home. Take a fan and a feather and try to walk around with it.
所以其实说哈，就是其实我们只要哈，脚步是轻的哦，不要太重，脚步轻盈。然后呢，你的心都专注在上面，然后慢慢的就是这样把它接下来哦。其实它就很服帖的，就一直在，就会在你的扇子上。
So, Shifu actually said that it's not so difficult. At first, you have to tread lightly, walk very light-footed, and then also focus your mind on the task at hand. And if you do proceed, if you do it like so, then you will naturally be able to keep the feather on the fan without much effort.
那所以关键就是说我们的脚步怎么样那么轻松、哦、然后我们心可以怎么样的那么的专注，其实那要靠修行。修行其实就是在锻炼我们的心、哦、让它呢能够一直处在比较稳定安静跟不动的状态。
So how do we achieve treading lightly and stay focused and mindfulwithout too much effort? And the key point of that would be then to practice meditation, practicing your mind, cultivating your mind, so the mind can constantly stay in, be in a state of being settled, calm, and quietude, as well as it doesn't move around erratically.
那但所以我们其实在整个生活的过程中，在修行的过程中，其实对于我们这个心的状态其实要非常的了解，就是我们有这些分别、哦、我们有分我们不喜欢的，那不喜欢的背后其实呢相对一定有我们喜欢的，那我们对心对境的反应，其实我们随时都要能够去练习去觉察去发现。
So in thisLong process of practice, we have to understand ourselves and be very clear about the state of mind we are in. We need to be able to be aware, to reflect that we naturally make these distinctions. There are things that we reject, we dislike, so that must mean naturally there are things that we desire, we crave, and we like, that we try to get. And we have to be very...clear about the reaction of our mind facing all sorts of phenomena, how we react to them. Be clear about what kind of state our mind is in.
那我们做一个小结、哦、就是说我们会无法达到自道的原因呢，其实很关键的就是拣择。一个我们会拣择什么呢？一个是我们会怕烦恼，另外一个呢，我们有所谓的观念之类。观念之类就是什么呢？我们学越多，我们越多观念之类，因为学佛了之后我们知道有这个菩提，然后佛也告诉我们我们没有这些烦恼，但是我们又可以达到涅槃，然后我们又可以、欸、就是成佛，所以呢就我们越学越多，我们越多这种观念的那种区别，然后就现在我是烦恼，然后我现在我是什么，这样这种观念之类，所以会有这两方面。
So a quick summary of what we just talked about is that the Supreme Way is not difficult if only we do not pick and choose. And the reason why we choose is because there are two main reasons. One is because we try to escape our vexations. And the two is that we have all these preconceived notions. Now that we've been studying Buddhism, Buddha Dharma for a while, so we know there are these things called vexations, and there's such thing as Buddhahood, and then there's Nirvana. So we start to make distinctions using these ideas or concepts that we have learned, and to say, oh, right now I'm in the state of vexation. Now I'm in a better state of quietude or whatever. And we are burdened with these ideas, and that is that's the reason why we're constantly picking and choosing, and that's actually taking us further from the way.
这个细节哈，我们后面会谈拣择的时候会比较细的去谈到。
We'll talk more about the details later on when we delve deeper into picking and choosing.
好，那整个从自大无难危险拣择哈，它是一个 key point， 就是最重要的一个句子。那下面的句子从淡漠真爱一直到所以不如哈，这个句子这些诗句呢，就是在讲。如果没有这个拣择，我们就会得到这个结果。如果我们没有拣择，我们又得到什么样的结果？
So the most important phrase in this whole verse is the supreme way is not difficult if only you do not pick and choose. So that's the key point. And then later on, starting from the second line, neither love nor hate, and you will clearly understand all the way down to. Because of grasping and rejecting, you cannot attain it. This next section talks about, try to describe, if you pick and choose, then you will reach that kind of state. If you don't pick and choose, then you will reach another kind of state.
我们整个大概的先看过一遍哈。
We'll take a cursory look first at this section.
那下一句就是下面的句子是淡漠真爱洞然明白毫厘有差天地玄格欲自现前莫存顺逆委顺相争是为心病不是玄子徒劳念境圆同太虚无欠无余良由取舍所以不如就是这几句啊。那英文要念嘛应该可以不用吧
And then, so we just briefly read through the next section, and the translation is next to the Chinese text.
那这一几句呢，其实对于中国人来说很简单，对不对？看一看，大家就可以理解它的意思了哈。
So perhaps the Chinese text is probably kind of relatively easy for the Chinese readers.If I'm just looking at the text, you can probably understand what it's trying to say.
你看里面的拣择呢是哪一些呢？就是真爱，还有顺跟逆。
So you can see what do people pick and choose from? Love, hate, or things that are for or against.
还有取舍。
And also grasping and rejecting. These are the things we pick and choose from.
如果我们对很多事情都有真爱，或者我们觉得顺的、不顺的，或者是我们这个要、我们这个不要的时候呢，我们会有什么样的一个结果呢？就是它会变成我们内在新的一个烦恼，就是心病的状态。还有呢，就是我们如果一直都是这样的话，我们在怎么样的打坐、怎么样的用功都没有用，好。
So if we constantly follow these patterns of love and hate, having opinions about things that's for or against, or constantly grasping or rejecting, then naturally we'll be far from the supreme way, and it leads to vexations of the mind, which is the mind's disease. And also, it will be useless to be practicing quietude.
所以最后呢，我们就不如就是不如那个什么自道的状态，就没有办法达到自道的那个状态。
So, by following that pattern, you will not be able to attain it.
那但是呢，好，如果我们没有真爱，没有顺逆，没有取舍的时候呢，其实我们的心境呢是可以洞然明白，还有呢圆同太虚，就是可以达到这样的一个结果，还有无欠无余。
So, but if we are not in those states, if we stop making those distinctions, then you will attain the state that you would clearly understand, and the way is perfect like the great space, and also it's the great space is without lack and without excess. You will be able to attain those states, be in those states.
所以你会发现说前面呢是我们有这一些分别的时候呢，我们心就会有烦恼，会有状况，然后会就是怎么样用功都其实都没有办法的。 但是如果我们一放掉它呢，其实我们心境就可以非常的清明清净。然后呢，你看他用太虚这个字哈，就是用道家的字眼，好，就是达到那个圆通太虚，就整个跟宇宙万物合而为一的那个状态，甚至于也没有多跟没有少。那这个后面我们会解释哈。
So as you can see, if we grasp onto those notions, if we continue to make distinctions and choosing, then we will have all these vexations and the mind will be sick in a sense. On the other hand, if we let go of the distinctions, then the mind will return to the state of clear illumination, in the state of quietude, and even the phrase of great space is used, which is similar to the Taoist, which is a term that's borrowed from the Taoist school, where it's one with, it becomes one with a greater universe.
那这两个状态哦，它其实呢是怎么样会这样转成这样呢？就是从好到坏，从坏到好呢？这里面有提到说，好里有差，只是要你有一点的认识不清，对于这一些状况认识不清的时候，就一点哦，像什么呢？像好里中文的好哦，就是很小哦，小到那样的一个差念一念之间或一差别之下呢，你就会怎么样？天地玄隔哈，那英文的翻译是天地，它直接翻字哈。其实如果我们说就是天堂跟地狱之别，就会进入天堂跟地狱之别。
So how does one move between the two states of pick and choosing and not picking and choosing? The states, the results is greatly different, but the understanding, if the understanding is be off by just one hair, if your understanding is off by a little bit, then you are as far from it as heaven from earth. So the result you attain will be very different as if you're in heaven versus in hell.
天地是什么呢？如果我们没有爱真的话，我们那个处在的状态就是洞然明白，那个就是所谓的就是用这个天地来做形容的，就是你就是在天的状态，就是完全没有烦恼的状态。那地呢是什么呢？如果我们好坏一直在那边打架的话呢，其实你的心就生病了这样子。那但是如果，所以它这次就是一个天跟一个地的差别齁。那可是如果我们又可以做到的话呢，其实我们就跟宇宙万物齁，就是圆同太虚无欠无余的这个状态齁。那可是如果我们又去这样子的话呢，我们又掉到地上里面去呢，就是怎样，你还是没有办法达到这样。所以他其实在讲那个状态，就是天一下子从天堂又掉到地狱，然后地狱又到天堂，到这样子天地之别这样。
So what does it mean to be in heaven, heaven from earth or heaven and hell? If you don't make distinctions, don't pick and choose, and you'll be in heaven,where you will understand everything clearly. On the other hand, if you continue to make distinctions and pick and choose, then you'll dwell down into earth or hell, where the mind will be ill, there will be a mind disease. In another word, again, if you don't pick and choose, then you'll attain the state where the way is perfect, like the great space, without lack and without excess.But if you continue to grasp and reject, then you will not be able to attain the state.
那因为时间的关系哈，细的部分我们下一次再讲。但是这个天地玄隔的体会呢，待会儿如果你们留下来吃饭的话哈，其实你马上可以体会到。
So we will talk more about the details next time due to the interest of time. But while you enjoy your lunch,here, you can actually put this into practice and try to see without picking and choosing, and you'll experience the difference between heaven and earth.
就是当你夹菜的时候呢，你就可以开始观察我们的心念一定会有什么爱憎。啊，这个我喜欢吃，哦，这个看起来很好吃，啊，这个看起来，哎呦，怎么煮成这样？不要夹。加少一点加多一点齁，这个时候我们就在地齁。可是如果你就是只是加加加齁，你可能那时候完全没有其他心念，你的心是可以平静的。可是下一刻你坐下来吃的时候啊，咬下去哇，真后悔为什么要加这个齁。这个时候你又掉到地狱里面去了齁。 但是诶你一发现的时候你说好没关系享受一下中国的那个食物齁或者是不同人煮的不同方你那时候又从地狱呢又一到天堂齁你就是一直在天地悬隔齁就是在那边飞来飞去齁这是什么我们的业习我们习惯我们的心就是一下子好坏好坏那欢迎大家等一下去练习然后去观察。
So, when you're getting the different dishes, if you pick and choose, you can immediately see yourself, oh, I like this, I don't like that, oh, this looks good, or, ooh, you know, why did they cook it like that? It doesn't look so tasty. So again, your mind is constantly moving from the state of heaven and to earth. And, if you actually are able to practice just getting the food without making any discriminations, then you'll be in the state of heaven. But then the next moment, as soon as you sit down to eat, you may put the food in your mouth and you're thinking, ooh, doesn't taste so good. Then again, you dwell down back to the state of earth. But if you're able to then bring up the thought that, oh, you know, I'll just take it easy and enjoy Chinese cooking or enjoy food that's prepared by other people, then again, you move back to the state of heaven. So again, constantly your mind moves from heaven and earth, flying back and forth. So I really encourage you, invite you to use the time during lunch to experience the movement of your mind.
吃完饭之后你就问自己，自道无难吗？
And then afterwards, after you finish eating, then you can ask yourself, is it really so? The supreme way is not difficult.
Is 刚刚是佛还是众生?
What kind of state was I in just now? Was I a Buddha or was I a sentient being?
好,我们下一周应该还有一次。下下周11月9号。
So we'll have another session again in 2 weeks.
好，今天就到这里了。阿弥陀佛。
We'll end it here today. 阿弥陀佛。